Remember Soul Train and American Bandstand, all those out there. And they're very different. American Bandstand was very different to popular hits, but the Soul Train was more of the R&B, and I was a person that wanted to be on Soul Train. That was my identity. I wanted to be on the Soul Train. Matter of fact, I actually had an afro. I wore bell-bottom boots, pants. I had, wide lapel polyester shirts. I had a pick in my hair. I don't know if you remember back in those days, but they actually had boots. And you wore those boots with an inch heel. And we walked, we actually walk around with a strut. It's just kind of, that was my identity. I wanted to be so badly. And middle school does that. We're looking for that identity. And we are being shaped by so many ways. And what I want to do is I want to use the clay as an example of what's happening to our lives. We are being shaped by our values, by our parents, by our coach, by our teacher. Peer groups are very powerful in shaping our identity. It could be white collar, your class. It could be ethnic group. It could be, there's so many ways, and we're taking on these shapes. And we identify with these things, and literally they become who we are. And what happens is that without the Holy Spirit, that shape takes on a very sinful presence. And it doesn't give us the identity that God always intended us to have. In fact, what happens without the Holy Spirit, giving us this identity and this assurance that we are God's kid, sin and the world and Satan is shaping us in so many different ways because we need an identity. That's who we are. We are shaped. We are created in this world to have something that we can identify with. And without the Holy Spirit, what we do is we end up being shaped by the values of the world. The values of the world, we're shaped by our peers. We're shaped in so many ways. And that's why I like to use that example of zombies. Because without the Holy Spirit, that our desires and the world shapes us in a way that leads us away from God. And literally what happens with those sinful desires and the way sin shapes us, it literally puts us in a position where we are dying quickly, and it also is a position of destroying our life. And Satan wants that. Satan wants to destroy us. There's nothing good in Satan's plan for us, especially in that sinful position. And he knows that in our sinful state, we're not really a threat. It all changes when our identity is wrapped up and changed when the Holy Spirit comes into our life. So what we're going to do is we'll be looking at chapter 8. Who has had a chance to actually pick up the Bible and look at chapter 8? I want you, we got one in the back. I want you by this next week, just take that chapter and just read it. Take the time to sit back and read it. It is one of the most richest chapters in Scripture. To read chapter 8 and just read it line by line is an amazing chapter. It is what God's way of reminding us who we are and that we can't live life without the Holy Spirit. But there's an anchor verse there that I've been mentioning to you. An anchor verse is really important. Halibut fishing, I love halibut fishing. And a couple times when I've been out there, we would get to a slack tide. And the boat's out there, and one of the most important things that the captain does, he throws out this heavy anchor because he wants us to sit there and be in that really sweet spot. But also there's another reason. It helps them to know when the tide is changing. So one day, again, the anchor is very powerful. I'm sitting there thinking I caught the biggest halibut in my life, and I'm reeling back and forth, pulling back and forth, thinking about 150, 200-pounder, and suddenly what we have, the captain says, "Hey, Pete, let go of the anchor." I literally was pulling the anchor and changing that boat. That anchor is really important. It holds us steady. It's the very thing that allows us in the midst of a tide not to be moved. And this anchor verse is powerful. It's something to hang on to. It's a promise, especially when we're struggling with life. Romans 8:28. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. It is the very anchor that we hang on, that promise that no matter how bad the situation may be in our lives, that God, as we love God, he's going to work it good, and he has called us to a very specific purpose, even in the midst of that suffering. Well, as we're studying chapter 8, especially at these past few verses, God has Paul reminding us the power and beauty of living in a life of the Spirit. The life of the Spirit is what God intended for us to live, and He constantly reminds us how good that is. And on a daily basis, because we have a world that constantly wants to shape us, that God reminds us through the Holy Spirit that our identity is not shaped by the world, but shaped by Him and by the Holy Spirit, that reminds us that something very special is something very special about us, and that we are His children. So what we hear from Romans 8, 13 and 14 is this: for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Again, reminding us that a sinful life, a life filled with sin, will bring us to death. Sin always leads to death. But by the Spirit, you put to death of the deeds of your body, and you will live. Now, again, what we hear always in Scripture, that when we are in a sinful situation, that sin, whatever we're doing, is killing us, is destroying us. God does not want us to live that way. God does not want sin to destroy our lives. But we live in the Spirit. We are able to understand how to live in the Spirit and stay away from those things that kill us, not only kill us physically, but also spiritually, emotionally, relationally. Living in the Spirit helps us to have very successful, wonderful life in the Spirit. So what Paul does then, he does something uniquely different. He starts talking, he uses images of slaves and adoption to help us understand we as his children. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the Roman Empire back in those days. The economy was basically built from slaves. They took anybody and everybody, and they would make them into slaves, and slaves were given very, very little of anything. And so he uses this image of slaves. Again, people live in that area. They understand what slaves are and how they're being used and abused by the Roman Empire. But also he gives us this beautiful picture of adoption that helps us to understand how we become the children of God. It's a great picture. And he's reminding us, God is reminding us again, who we are, because we need to be reminded. So text 8:14 says this: for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons or daughters of God. For we did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. That's what slavery does. It puts us in a position of fear because we fear the master and how the master can control us. And that's what sin does. It controls our lives, and it does a terrible job. But you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Okay, the Spirit bears witness. We'll talk about that here in a minute. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Again, reminding us ourselves that we live in a time of suffering, but one day there is this glorification that happens because we're connected with Christ. That means we go to heaven. So you see this imagery, and I want to go back to that. Slaves, a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. And then it says, children, heirs of heirs, and fellow heirs of Christ. You get this picture of adoption. But also we have this understanding that being a slave of sin is a terrible thing. And people have seen how slaves are being treated in the Roman Empire. It was a terrible thing. People wanted to become free. The Hebrews were able to sit back and look at that and realize this is a terrible thing. And Paul uses us, that beautiful imagery, to help us understand that living in sin is a terrible thing. First of all, there is the fear of no security. You never know as a slave where you're going to be. You have no idea, because what happens is you're just a commodity that can be sold and bought and used in so many different ways. There is phenomenal fear in that, as well as the fear of punishment. A master can do whatever he wants to do to the slave if for some reason he finds something wrong. You have no authority. A slave has no authority in Rome, has nothing. They're not even considered to be any type of value as a human. They're just slaves. They're a part of the economy there, and they're used and they're abused. And then you have no intimacy. You as a slave can't have intimacy with a master. You don't have that type of connection. You don't have that relationship. But God gives us this beautiful picture that when we are adopted out of slavery, we have security, we have authority, and we have intimacy with our Father in heaven. So, adoption is not something that the Hebrew people really knew about. in that area, but the Roman Empire had a way for people to become adopted, especially slaves. It was a way for slaves to become free, and they normally sometimes what happens, they allow for these slaves that are loved by the family to become a part of the family, and they would adopt them into that family. Not only that, there's times where you have a person who has this vast, vast wealth but has no heir and would look for someone to take on that inheritance, and they go through this process of adoption. So it is something that's pretty regular in the Roman economy. So what happens is when you're adopted, these things happen to a new son or a new daughter. First, all your debt and legal obligations were paid. If you had any of it, it was taken away from you. Second, you get a new name and was instantly heir of the father. So you now become the heir. You get a new name. You take on the identity of the father. Third, the father will be liable for all his actions, his debt, his crimes. So when a person becomes an adopted, whatever happens to that child, whatever happens to that person, the father takes full responsibility for that child's life and what they do. But fourth, the new son or daughter now has obligations to honor and please the father. It was very important back in those days that when you are adopted into this family by this gracious and benevolent father, that you have to honor that person and you have to please that father. Now, I had an opportunity for VBS to get to know some of the workers here. And one day, Brenda came up to me and sat next to me. Where's Brenda? There. Sat next to me, and she shared her story about how she adopted her two daughters. And when she was sharing that story, and I asked Brenda if it's all right for me to use the story, when she shared the story how God brought those two daughters into her family, her face just lit up by sharing that story. How God brought those daughters, how she became a mom, how Bill became a dad, and how God did this, and just the process of adoption as she shared that, and then the connection, and them now being a part of the family. It was a beautiful picture of adoption. Not all adoptions end up going well, but from Brenda and Bill's situation, it turned out very, very wonderful. But that's the picture that God wants us to have. There was a time when we were not adopted, that God chose us to be a part of his family and puts us through that process of being his family. The other thing that we hear is that we get this special privilege of calling God Father. Now, that's an important part of this whole situation. You just don't turn to a person or call a person father. That is a privilege. Now, my father-in-law, Dr. Tepley, I wish you would have a chance to see him. He's 97 years old. And when I was dating out Cynthia, I've always called him Dr. Tepley. And when I got married with Cynthia, all I call him was Dr. Tepley. Because Dr. Tepley was well-known in Anchorage. He was a person of honor, a person that was highly looked upon in the religious circle, and now he's my father-in-law. So calling him Dr. Tepley, I always felt like there was some type of barrier between him and me. And then one day, I just remembered with great honor, I just turned to Dad. I said, you know, Dr. Tepley, I said, do you mind if I call you Dad? And he goes, yeah, I've been waiting for that. And suddenly that relationship changed with my father, Tepley, Dr. Tepley. And I tell you, every week we meet on the phone, and every week I get blessed by this dad, this father-in-law, who loves me deeply, and I love him deeply, because we're able to have this type of relationship. Our Father in heaven wants us to experience this type of relationship, that we can call Dad, our God, Father, as an intimate way of recognizing our relationship. The last part I want to go ahead and share with you is the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, we know many times in our life that we get a kind of sidetracked. We find ourselves getting shaped and pulled by the world. But what is so beautiful is we have the gift of the Holy Spirit that reminds us every day that we are his child. He testifies with our spirit that we are his children. We need reminding. We need reminding that God is our Father. And so, you know what a notary republic is, right? Basically, a notary republic is a witness. And they're there to certify that you are who you are. If you want to have a document switch, you want to have a switching titles with a car, they're very important. But become a witness, and they are a viable witness when it comes to property, when it comes to a lot of things. Well, the Holy Spirit is that same witness. He reminds us that we are God's kid, and we need that reminder every day. So the application is this. Like clay, our identity is shaped by our sin nature and the world, but now our identity is shaped by our sin nature. Excuse me. But now our identity is shaped by our adopted relationship with God. Now, it's hard to imagine this, but if you can imagine this clay being perfect, a perfect you, a perfect human being, because in the garden, there was no sin. And so our identity was perfect. It was connected to God. We knew exactly who our Father was. We knew exactly who we were. There was nothing there that kept robbing that identity away from us, that understanding of our identity. But sin came in the world, and suddenly that changes. No longer do we have this relation with our Father in heaven, and suddenly our identity is now being shaped by sin, by our desires. Sinclair Ferguson said this in the book of the God, Children of the Living God, and he quotes this. The notion that we are children of God, his own sons and daughters, is the mainspring of Christian living. Our sonship or daughtership is God to the apex of creation and the goal of redemption. Every part and every reason why God created us and redeemed us, because he wanted his children back to him. That was his plan to begin with, and it was planned when he redeemed us. So we need to understand that was God's purpose for us when he brought Christ into our lives. Now, like I said before, the beginning, there was no sin. The world was sinless. Everything was working together. Our identity is perfect. We know who we are. There's nothing fighting for that. At the same time, that's going to happen in heaven. Suddenly, the same thing. We understand our identity. We have the Father in heaven. We have this, no sin is trying to mar or destroy that connection with our Father, and we have this perfect, beautiful identity that helps us to understand our relationship. But meantime, before our spiritual life, we have sin shaping our identity. Now, why is this so important? Because sin continues to shape our identity. And Paul reminds us, be careful of this. The Holy Spirit is there to help us to understand that every day that we are connected with God, but we can find ourselves being reshaped by the world. That is the war that we have with our flesh. That is the war that we have with the world. You know, that we find the struggle, and God is reminding us through his Holy Spirit that we don't have to be shaped by these things. And I don't know how many times in your life that reminder is so important. I can get so caught up in my role as a father, as an athlete, as a person, that I lose myself in that role. I lose myself in the role of being a pastor. One of the things that caused some problems in our family, it was very hard for me through my years as a pastor, was to take off my pastor hat and put it to the side and become a dad and a husband. And what happens is I got so caught up in that role as a pastor that became a part of my identity, and it literally was causing phenomenal pain in my family. I had to learn to put that away. My identity is not wrapped up in that. My identity is wrapped up that I am a brother to my children, a brother in Christ to my children, to my wife. And once I understand that, suddenly I was able to put that identity of what I thought was shaping my identity as the pastor, and I was able to put that aside and realize my identity is that I'm a brother to my sisters and to my brothers. And that changed our relationship. It changed our family and my relationship with my children. But we can easily get caught up in a role. We can get easily caught up in some type of program, some type of philosophy that suddenly shapes us to believe and act in the way that they wanted them to act. Want you to act, and we lose our identity from who we are, and that is we are a son and daughter to our Father in heaven. So, well, I'm going to close with this, that there is something that has to happen in our life, and that is we have to be spiritually alive. Christ made it very clear in Scripture that there is a process from when we come into a world that's filled with sin, where sin has shaped us, tried to have us identify with something in our life, rule us, master us, and God says something has to change drastically, and that is you are to be birthed into the kingdom of God. And in that, you'll have this aha moment. You'll have this moment where going, oh my goodness, I'm a part of God's kingdom. And I remember the very first time years ago, suddenly I became a Christian, and when I was told that I'm God's son, that blew me away. I'm the son to God, the Creator, that He adopted me, that He chose me. It was one of the most powerful awakenings, one of the most powerful things that ever happened in my life. It literally helped transform me. But the neat thing is, God promises us that not only does that happen at the very beginning, I've given you the Holy Spirit that reminds you daily, daily, as the world is attacking us, as values, bad, sinful values are attacking us, that God reminds us that we are His children, that He chose us, and that the Holy Spirit, one of the works of the Holy Spirit, is that we are His kids. It's so important, because we can easily lose ourselves in so many different ways that we forget that we are children of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we are so grateful that You've given us the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are Your children, that we are being transformed every day to know You and to strengthen our relationship with You. We thank You for this gift. Help us never to overlook the voice, Your presence in our life. And we thank You again for choosing us. In Your Son's name, amen.